Transformation of America by Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Chapter 27, Hotel California. Dante threw me a short, red, slinky dress with rhinestone straps and a pair of glass slippers, to wear to Cinderella's ball, the shoes, like Aunt's ruby, slippers and Philip Habib's magic lightning bowl, shoes, were to transform me into the personality fragment I had been pre-programmed for the event. Dante escorted me to the party/ball where I was to meet with Mexican President de la Madrid. Dante had been bragging about his second home in Malibu ever since I first met him, and the place was opulence personified. I do not know who actually owned his second home in Malibu, California, but Reagan's influence was evident in the decor. From the front, the white stucco house gave the illusion of being two-story. The view overlooked a secluded Pacific Bay, and revealed three levels built into a cliff. Through the smoked glass wall panels that spanned the back, the three stories, lavishly carpeted in red, white, and blue, provided a patriotic view. All levels had a beige-white interior decorated in gold and crystal. An enormous chandelier hung from the cathedral ceiling, illuminating all three levels at once from the great room which overlooked the bay. I was told that Uncle Ronnie Reagan would be arriving the next day. It was my patriotic duty to attend de la Madrid's welcome party and wear down any resistance he may have, in order that Reagan's business meeting with him would go smoothly. This was not the first time I heard this excuse for being politically prostituted, nor would it be the last. In reality, I was to do the initial dirty work, delivering messages, and encourage de la Madrid to use drugs and party with abandon. The diplomatic relations between the U.S. and Mexico were already strong, but this phase of the operation required total commitment from de la Madrid. Dante and I waited at the top of the staircase as de la Madrid, accompanied by two bodyguards, climbed to the red level of the house. I greeted de la Madrid, "Welcome to the U.S. And, seductively, "Welcome to the Hotel California." His deep-throated laugh indicated he had been cue to the ramifications of my cryptic statement. Hotel California, taken from a popular song by the Eagles, stated, "You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave." To de la Madrid, this confirmed the permanency of his involvement in the criminal, covert operations in which he was conspiring. Blackmail was openly initiated to ensure that each criminal participant understood that if one fell, they all fell. Maintaining dirt on each other through this mafia-style method was seemingly the only way these criminals implementing the New World Order kept each other honest. De la Madrid and I went into a nearby bedroom, followed by Dante and the bodyguards. Dante then activated the programmed message instilled at the Shasta Resort from Bush to de la Madrid. I recited, "If you please, sir, I have a message to deliver to you from the Vice President of the United States. Welcome to our neighborhood. As you know, Salinas and I have worked out the details towards implementing our plan to open the Juarez border tomorrow. In preparation and celebration of this accomplishment, this little party tonight will bring you face to face with a trusted few who are integral parts of this endeavor, and give you the latitude to see firsthand the friendship and honor among the government-involved mafioso family members. I regret that I could not be here in person to greet you, but Ron Reagan can show you the ins and outs of the organization better than I. The transaction numbers have been recorded, and are available to you for cross-reference purposes and to uphold the integrity of the players involved on your end of the Juarez border. Your commitment today ensures you have a higher economic standard of living for your people, increased relations with the U.S., an influx of American industry, and a position of high esteem in the New World Order. With your seal of approval, we can dissolve the Juarez border and make way for a future of prosperity for Mexico. For now, relax and enjoy your stay." One of de la Madrid's guards was shuffling through some papers from a briefcase, and he told Dante he would like the bank transaction numbers. Dante switched me to, "You are what you read, passbook programming, And I delivered the numbers intended for the border guards to De La Madrid, as ordered. A computer of sorts was used to calculate and confirm the numbers. Aware that the meeting was being filmed by one of Dante's high-tech hidden cameras, De La Madrid held up a paper-wrapped ball of Mexican heroin. Speaking directly at the camera, he cleverly said, "A token of appreciation, Mr. Bush, something for your private stock. The finest heroin available. Enjoy." Dante strode across the room and said, "I'll take that and see to it that he gets it myself." "I'm sure you will," De La Madrid laughed. He then put all but one paper back in the briefcase. "I was instructed to present the elaborately embossed Mexican presidential seal of approval to pre-appointed Juarez border guards as proof of De La Madrid's commitment, then deliver it directly to Bush for his file on the future NAFTA agreement. Prepared to present a modified hands-on mind control demonstration to De La Madrid," Dante said, "you've heard from a carrier pigeon, messenger. You've seen her in a mode to accept program. And now I will demonstrate some of her sexual modes." "That will not be necessary," De La Madrid told him. "I have been given a handful of keys that I would like to use on my own, including the one to destroy all memory. Not that it matters when we are monitored." He gestured toward the camera, "but nevertheless I was instructed to do it." Dante did not seem to know this was not the first time I was sexually prostituted to the Mexican president. "She rides a horse well," Dante said, referring to both the rare practice of heroin to supposedly block my memory of this event, and a Reagan-inspired sex act. Dante stuck a needle in my arm. "May I recommend a ride for you? I am on one now that I would like to maintain," De La Madrid answered, referring to cocaine use and his running nose. Dante laid out several generous lines of the white drug on a black mirror. He stroked me under my chin, triggering Reagan's sex kitten personality, picked up Bush's heroin, and ushered the two guards out the door. De La Madrid, fully aware of my pornography exposure, said, "You like cameras? Let's give them something to watch." He snorted two more lines of coke, undressed, and further activated my sex programming with the verbal and physical keys and triggers Reagan had previously provided him. At one point he enthusiastically commented that, "If I have my way, the free trade agreement will include a few top of the tine," he snorted another line of coke for emphasis, "models, vaginally, carved and trained like you." De La Madrid had long been obsessively fascinated with my vaginal mutilation carving. He was perversely excited at the prospect of the Juarez border joint venture drug deal including protected, free trade of mind-controlled slaves. He reiterated his desire the next day during a meeting with Reagan.